It's Thursday, the 11th of June, and the light is only just coming up here. Yesterday, the news was a model. This morning, it's everything we are building around the model. The rules meant to hold it, the money racing to fund it, and the quiet training grounds where the next one is being taught. Four threads today, and they pull in the same direction. The capability is already here, and the scaffolding is straining to catch up. Let me get into them. First up, Anthropic did something unusual. It asked to be regulated. The company published a policy framework it is calling Policy on the AI Exponential. And the striking thing is that it proposes binding federal rules that its own models would fall under. The thresholds are specific. The rules would bite only for models trained with more than 10 to the 25 floating point operations, built by companies earning over $500 million in AI revenue or spending more than $1 billion on research. For anything that big, the government would get the legal authority to block or deter a dangerous deployment, real authority, beyond what exists in law today, backed by civil penalties tied to a company's global revenue. What makes this more than a thought experiment is the evidence Anthropic puts underneath it. They say their internal Mythos model discovered thousands of high-severity software vulnerabilities, including in every major operating system and browser. That is the kind of offensive cyber capability that turns an abstract worry into a concrete one. Ooh. The framework names four catastrophic risks: biological misuse, large-scale cyber, loss of control, and the automation of AI research itself. And it asks developers to publish safety frameworks, submit to independent evaluation, and harden their model weights against state-level attackers. And here is where it gets tangled, because the same model sits at the center of a fight on three sides at once. Anthropic's public guardrailed release, Claude Fable 5, is, security researchers told TechCrunch, too locked down to do any real cybersecurity work. It pauses the moment a prompt touches cyber or biology. At the same time, Defense One reports that federal technology chiefs are frustrated they cannot get access to Mythos for defending their own networks, even as the intelligence community already has it. This after the defense secretary flagged Anthropic as a supply chain risk. The president said agencies should stop using it, and a judge called that move arbitrary and capricious. So you have one capability that is simultaneously judged too dangerous to release openly, too restricted to use defensively, and too important to leave unregulated. That tension is the whole story. Moving on to our second story, which is about who is paying for all of this and how. The headline number came from Amazon, which signed to borrow about $17.5 billion from a syndicate of banks. And it did that just 2 days after a $14 billion bond sale, which means roughly $31.5 billion of fresh financing in about 48 hours. And Amazon is not alone. Alphabet is planning an $80 billion stock sale to fund its build-out, and Meta is preparing a $30 billion bond offering, the largest in its history. The thing to notice is the shift in how this is being paid for. For years, the AI build-out ran on the operating cash of the most profitable companies on Earth. Increasingly, it is running on debt. On the demand side, the appetite has not cooled. OpenAI's chief executive told staff he expects the company to go public within the next year and teased a new model on the way. And in a detail I find telling, Anthropic's policy paper from our first story also floated a public fund, a mechanism to give ordinary Americans a financial stake in the gains from AI, which is a quiet admission that the wealth this is concentrating has itself become a political problem. The counterweight came from Ben Larica, writing at Gradient Flow, who keeps pointing at the gap between the press release and the power grid. Companies keep announcing gigawatts of capacity. The grid keeps reminding everyone what it can actually energize. Put it together and you get a picture of an industry borrowing aggressively against a future it is confident about, lining up to go public, and running ahead of the physical infrastructure, the substations and the transmission lines that all of it ultimately depends on. The question underneath every one of these financings is the same, and nobody can answer it yet: B, whether the returns will ever justify the spend. Third up, a genuine piece of model news. and a quietly interesting one. Google DeepMind released Diffusion Gemma, an open experimental model that changes how text gets generated. Almost every language model you use today is autoregressive. It writes one token at a time, left to right, each word waiting on the one before it. Diffusion Gemma does not. It generates whole blocks of text in parallel, refining them through an iterative denoising process, the same basic idea that diffusion models use to turn noise into an image brought over to language. DeepMind's headline claim is that it is about 4 times faster. That speed comes from breaking the strict left-to-right dependency. Autoregressive decoding is fundamentally serial. Ooh, you cannot write the 10th word until you have written the 9th, and that serialization is a big part of why generation feels slow. Parallel refinement maps far more naturally onto the way a graphics processor actually works, which is why diffusion language models have drawn so much interest, even though, historically, they have trailed autoregressive models on quality and on fine control of the output. NVIDIA put out a companion piece saying it has tuned Diffusion Gemma to run faster across its consumer and workstation chips, from a local computer up through its small desktop AI systems. And that pairing is the real signal. Shipping an open model in the Gemma family with chip vendor level support for running it locally is a concrete bet that parallel decoding text models are ready to leave the research bench and do real work. Because the weights are open, nobody has to take the 4x figure on faith. Practitioners can measure the speed against quality trade-off for themselves. DeepMind is careful to call it experimental, which is honest. The quality ceiling and the failure modes of generating text in parallel blocks are still being mapped, but it puts diffusion decoding squarely on the table, right next to speculative decoding and quantization, as a real lever for making models faster. And for our fourth and final story today, let me pull back to the research, because the strongest signal this morning was not any single paper, it was a cluster of them, all circling the same idea. As reinforcement learning with verifiable rewards has become the main route to making agents more capable, the bottleneck has quietly moved. It is no longer just data, and it is no longer just parameters. It is the environments themselves, the interactive worlds you train agents inside. One paper is a survey that tries to organize this whole young field around an environment lifecycle: how you model an environment, how you synthesize new ones, how you evaluate them, and how you put them to use. A second goes after the hardest part, that building these environments by hand scales only linearly, one painstaking task at a time. Its answer is recursive composition. Build complex, checkable environments automatically by assembling them out of simpler ones, the way you would snap together Lego bricks. A third paper sharpens the training itself, attacking the credit assignment problem in multi-step tool use, figuring out which intermediate decision in a long chain actually drove the final outcome, instead of crediting everything up to the last tool call. A fourth pushes coding agents past fixing bugs in existing code toward generating entire software repositories from a specification, and releases a large dataset to train on. And a fifth gives us a fair way to compare different agent harnesses on the same coding tasks under identical conditions. Read on their own, each is incremental. Read together, they mark a shift in how this field thinks. For a long time, environments were treated as scaffolding, the boring plumbing around the interesting model. What this morning's papers say, almost in chorus, is that the environment is the interesting part now. It is becoming the primary substrate of capability, the place where the next jump gets engineered, and that is a quieter milestone than a model release, but it may matter more. So that is the morning. Step back, and the four threads tell one story. A lab asking to be regulated because its model can already break the software the world runs on. An industry borrowing tens of billions against a future it cannot yet prove out. A faster way to generate text, and a research community rebuilding the very grounds where the next models will be trained. Capability on one side, and on the other, all the scaffolding, legal, financial, and technical, straining to hold it. The full digest has the rest, the smaller papers and the industry moves I could not fit here, For now, though, that is where I will leave it. Keep reading, take care of yourself, and I will see you tomorrow.